Jeff left this cord exactly where I would trip and fall over it. Amen. What a good crowd we have tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Tonight I want to talk to you about the second step to the first thing. You can get a hold of that. The second step to the first thing. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Y'all thought I was going to say 29, didn't you? Amen. Need to have a little fun sometime in the house of the Lord. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I want to read verse 1, and then I want to read verse 5. And for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about the second step to the first thing. And Hezekiah sent to all of Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Verse 5. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all of Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. Father, bless us tonight, that we may be able to bless you in days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Short, simple message tonight, but I want to talk to you about the second step to the first thing. Now, this morning, as we went back off into the life and the ministry of Hezekiah, I told you that if we really want to see a move of God, if we really want to see the power of God, if we want to see our families and our homes and our churches turn around, we must start with God. That's the place to start. I told you this morning that when the workers got the word from Hezekiah, they did three things. They did more than that, but the focus of it was three things. Number one, they removed what needed to be removed. They replaced what needed to be replaced. And they reestablished what never should have been unestablished in the first place. Amen. They went back to the Mosaic sacrificial system. All of those lambs and all of those rams and that goat was a picture of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would one day come and pay for our sins. I want you to turn back with me for just a second to the 29th chapter. We're just going to teach tonight, but I want you to get a hold of something. I want you to turn back with me to chapter 29, and I want us to look at verse 15 again. I didn't jump into this morning, but I want to share it with you tonight. I want you to notice what the workers did. Remember, Hezekiah is the king, and really Hezekiah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priest and the Levites are a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, of the followers of Jesus Christ. Hezekiah gives the orders of what needs to happen. Jesus came to give us directions on how to get back in fellowship with the Father. That's what Hezekiah is doing. Hezekiah understands that all of life, Listen, all of life depends upon their relationship with God. It is not about their budget. It's not about their military might. Listen, it is about a relationship and a walk with God. So when Hezekiah speaks to the priest and the Levites, they respond to his message. But I want you to look at verse 5 because I want to show you something. I want to show you a couple of things that they did. It says, I'm sorry, verse 15. Not verse 5, verse 15. And they gathered their brethren. You need to underline the word gathered. You see, what happened, Solid Rock, is when Hezekiah sent this word out to the priest and the Levite, not all of them showed up. Only some of them was present at the meeting with the king. They got so excited. They got so stirred. They were so moved by the message of Hezekiah and the Spirit of God. That, listen, the first thing that they did when they broke camp with the king is that they went to their other brothers in the Lord. They gathered them together. Listen, can't you imagine that one priest walks up to a priest that wasn't there and said, man, let me tell you what God is doing through Hezekiah. I mean, this is a glorious thing. Boy, we've been needing this for a long time because it's been a long time since we worshiped the true and the living God. And we're in a mess because of it. And Hezekiah is right. The only way we're going to fix this mess is we fix ourselves. And we need to get together and follow what the king said. The first thing that they did was, listen, they brought the other brothers together. Now, listen to me. This morning, the message was primarily about what we need to do in ourselves first. See, let me tell you something. Listen, you can't help anybody else get clean until you get clean. We always talking about, Miss Brenda, we're always talking about how we want to minister to this community, how we want to be a light in this community, how we want God to use us in this community. Well, listen, none of that will come to pass until we first let God do a work in us. So the first thing, watch this. The first thing they did was that they got everybody who was willing together. I'm going to show you something in a minute. I want you to hold on to that thought. Every priest and every Levite and every born-again believer who was willing to take part in this thing, they got them together. Here's the second thing they did. You still in verse 15? Listen. And sanctified themselves. That's key. That's important. Listen, they sanctified themselves. The word sanctify here means to cleanse personally. Listen, it literally means almost to take a bath and to wash yourself. Now, to get clean on the outside, you need some Dial soap or some lye soap and some water. But to get clean on the inside, it requires confession and repentance. And so when they got together, they said, listen, it ain't enough for us to get together because God don't like to use dirty instruments. So what we need to do, we need to confess our sin to God. We need to repent of our sin and turn away from our sin. We need to wash ourselves. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Listen, there is a sanctifying that only the Spirit can do. And there is a sanctifying that God requires you to do. They sanctified themselves. They confessed every known sin that they had. Listen, confession means, listen, it means that you put yourself in agreement with God. God said, that's sin. You said, you're right. God said, you ought not be doing that. You said, you're right, Lord. It's agreeing with God. And Amos tell us, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? See, you can never walk with God until you first agree with God.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Come on.
And so they sanctified themselves. God is asking Solid Rock, first of all, let's get together. Can I tell you something? God hates division. Listen, that's why God hates divorce. Because see, divorce divides what God meant to stay unified. Oh, come on, somebody now. I didn't say God hate divorced people. I said God hate divorce. And God hates division. You see, wherever division is, there's weakness. Wherever there's division, there is great vulnerability. And so the first thing they did was they got together. The second thing they did was they cleaned themselves up. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care how much of the first one you do, won't nothing happen until you get started on the second one. You see, that's why we can get, listen, that's why we can get a whole church full of folk, and all we got is a whole church full of folk. Because we live in a time when people don't want you to preach on sin no more. We live in a time where, listen, when people want you to be politically correct and people correct. And I'm sorry, but preaching sometimes crosses that line and get on your toes. And so listen, number one, they got together. But number two, they cleaned themselves up. They cleaned themselves up. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. The hardest thing in the world to try to do is to try to preach when you're dirty.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, you may not know that because you ain't never preached, but I know that because I've done it. It's hard. Listen to me. It's hard, Miss Kathy, to try to minister when things are, listen, when there's some dirt between you and glory. The reason why we don't see more of the power of God is because we're not willing to come clean with God. Amen. Amen. And so they cleansed themselves. But listen, not only did they cleanse themselves, watch this. And they came. They came. Listen to me. God will never accept your long distance worship. Now, this is just for our benefit. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking with y'all.
Come on.
God will never accept your long distance worship. Here's what we want to do sometimes. Because we don't want to be committed. And because it makes us uncomfortable. And because we would be rather doing something else. Listen, we would rather send our worship than to bring our worship. Amen. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I remember that there were some church folks in our community. And listen, you could count on that they were going to go to church two times a month. Amen. It was like God took a day off on certain Sundays. They weren't going. But listen, I say this to say that right here. Listen, but a lot of times you would hear them say, they'd be talking to the neighbor that was going that Sunday, and they would say, if you don't mind, come by here and get my dues. Come by here and get my tithe or my offering. Now, folks, listen to me. God is much more interested in you than he yields what you can give him.
Amen.
This making sense?
Yeah.
And so they came. That's huge. That's huge. That's big. That's big, because listen to me. They knew in coming that there was a task awaiting them. See, a lot of times we don't show up because we don't want to deal with what we got to deal with once we get there. Amen. But they came. They came, listen to me. Sidewalk, they came in spite of the fact that didn't everybody come. Not everybody came. They came in spite of the fact that they knew that the temple was filthy. They came in spite of the fact that they knew there was much work to be done, but they came. They came. Now watch this. Listen. The last thing I want you to see in this verse, and then we're gonna get into the sermon. But listen, they gathered, they sanctified themselves, listen, and then they hit the road headed toward the duty that they were to perform. And when they got there, listen, they came with a purpose. Look at the last part of verse 15. It says, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord. Listen, watch this. To cleanse the temple. I like what he didn't say. He didn't say they came to complain. He didn't say that they came to lay the blame on somebody, to find out who fault is this. They didn't come and work to get paid. They didn't even come because the king said come. I can prove that. It's right here in the verse. Listen, the king commanded, but they did it because it was the word of the Lord. They came to clean. Let me tell you something. We need some men. And we need some women, but the men need to lead it. Now, girls, that's not a kick against y'all. But when God set this thing up, he set it up under the control of man. And when, listen to me, when the man is missing in action, both physical and spiritual, the mama and the children are a prey to the enemy. And when the spiritual men of the church are missing, the rest of the body is vulnerable to the enemy. We need some men who will gather together. We need some men who will sanctify themselves. We need some men that will just come. They may not be as skilled as the folks that didn't come, but they'll show up. Amen. We need some men that'll stop complaining and stop blaming and stop making excuses and do the work. Am I preaching tonight? So go back with me now. Look, I want to show you something real quick, and I promise you, Mark already told me that he got to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up at 4. He said, make it short and sweet. Look at chapter 30 real quick. Look at chapter 30 real quick. I want to show you something. Our first responsibility, the first thing is to get ourselves in position. Our second thing, and this is something we got to work on, but I promise you, Operation Recovery, we're going to be working on it. The second thing is to do all that we can to recover those who didn't come to the first party. Amen. Listen what Hezekiah did. We'll come back to this later. I won't finish this tonight. But listen what he did. He reopened the temple. He reestablished the sacrificial system. The altar of God was now open for the first time in a long time, and they could make sacrifices, and they could worship God. And Hezekiah, it's like he said to himself, listen, it ain't enough for solid rock to be just enjoying this by themselves. Let's send word to all of our brothers and all of our sisters that we're going to have a feast. And we want them to come. And so he writes these letters. Listen, verse number 1 tells us, and Hezekiah sent, now I want you to catch this right here, to all of Israel. and to all of Judah. Though John had not written it, Hezekiah had to have heard from the Holy Spirit, whereby he says, whosoever will, let him come. Listen, Solid Rock, our first responsibility is to get ourselves right. Our second responsibility is to do all that we can to help our brothers and sisters who have fallen, who have backslidden, who are in the grasp of the enemy, who is being defeated by the world and being deceived by the devil, to help them to see that we got a God to glorify and we got a reason to celebrate.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The feast of Passover, Wendy, was perhaps one of the greatest festivals in the Jewish culture. They would come from all over the globe to celebrate this feast. Hezekiah said, we're going to have a feast. He said, though we hadn't had one in a long time, we hadn't celebrated the Passover in a long time, we're going to have a Passover. Listen, let me tell you what the Passover did. The Passover was a meal. It was a real meal where they killed the lamb and they made some unleavened bread and they would take the blood of that lamb and they would sprinkle it upon the altar and to make atonement for the sins of the people. And then listen, as a family, they would sit down and they would consume, they would eat that lamb. That lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of Christ, we need to apply it to our souls. And then when we get through applying the blood to our souls over our sins, we need to consume. We need to be full of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it was a feast. And listen, it did a couple of things. Number one, it reminded them of the bitter bondage of slavery in Egypt. Even though God had brought them out of Egypt and they were in the promised land, God never wanted them to forget what it was like being in Egypt.
Amen.
Now, listen, most times when God brings us through something bad, listen, not only do we want to get out of it, but we want to get it out of our head. We want to forget about it. But God didn't want that. Because listen, here's what God knew. God knew that they would never do what they could to rescue anybody else if they forgot how bad it was themselves.
That's right. Amen.
You know why every one of us ought to be soul winners? Because we ought to remember what it was like in the devil's kingdom. We ought to remember what it was like. Listen, how the devil kept us running and going nowhere, and how he kept us working but never getting nothing for it. Number one, God never wanted them to forget the bitterness of their bondage. Here's the second thing. God never wanted them to forget that it was by his grace, it was because of his goodness that he brought them out. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I are free tonight if we're in Jesus Christ. We're free. We're free indeed. We're on our way to glory. We're not waiting on victory. We got victory right now. But it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When they killed that lamb and they sprinkled the blood over the doorpost and the side post, I'm telling you, God had signed the deal that the victory belongs to Israel. And it was nothing that Pharaoh could do about it. So he makes this feast. He makes this feast. He invites and encourages all the people to come. Three benefits I want you to see tonight, and then we'll go home. Just three benefits. Look with me in verse number 6. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all of Israel and Judea. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Now watch this. And he will return to the remnant of you. Here's the first benefit, just really, really simple. First benefit. He said, you need to come to this Passover. You need to return back to the Lord. He said, here is the promise or the benefit. If you will come back to him, he'll return to you. Man, that's good. I mean, that's simple, but it's good. I mean, it's a simple deal. I mean, it's not complicated. Listen, if you out of fellowship with God tonight, listen, the only thing that you got to do, if you will come back to him, he'll come back to you. It's just that simple. The first benefit, he said, listen, he will return to you. Here's the second one. Look in verse 8. Now, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God. And here's the benefit, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. God said, if you will yield yourself and if you will come back to me, he said, I'll take my chastening hand off of your life. I'm going to tell you something that I believe, Miss Henry. I believe God loves us so much that, listen, when we begin to walk away from him, when we begin to drift away, when we begin to get involved in sin and iniquity that God knows is going to ruin our lives, before we get to that place of ruinness, God will do everything that he can to stop us. Because he loves us. He loves us. Listen to me. How many of y'all parents would just sit by and watch your child destroy themselves and not try to do anything to slow them down or to stop them? God is a loving father, and he cares about his children. And what was happening in Judah, because they had forsaken the Lord and they had walked away from the Lord, they were experiencing some pain. They were experiencing some hardship and some trouble in their lives. And it wasn't because of what the devil was doing. It was because of what they had done. And sometimes we suffer. Listen, sometimes God get in our pocket. Sometimes God disturbs our health. Sometimes God allows pink slips to be handed out. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives. And it's not because he's angry with us or because he don't love us. It's because he's trying to get us to change our ways. Is that making sense, y'all? That's Bible. I promise you it is. And so the second benefit is that, listen, you'll feel some relief of God's chastening hand on your life. One writer said, oh, it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We preach a lot about God's goodness and his mercy and his grace, and that is true. He is good. He is merciful. He is gracious. But folks, I want to tell you, listen, it's not a secret. It's a truth. If you reject his hand of grace, you got to deal with his hand of wrath. And the choice is yours. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Dan Corse said Saturday morning, he said, we get to choose what we're going to do, but we don't get to choose the consequences of what we do. Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen. Here's the third benefit, and this is the last one. Last benefit, in a way. Look at verse number 9. Here's what the letter said. For if you turn again unto the Lord, now watch this, because this is important. Your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Here's the third benefit. The third benefit is that, listen, when we do what we're supposed to do, we open the door of blessings for other people who might be suffering right around us. Listen what he said. He said, listen, if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children who are in captivity shall find compassion before them that led them into captivity. One of the reasons why, listen to me, one of the reasons why you and I need to make sure that things are right between me and the Lord is for the sake of those who are connected to me in life.
Amen.
Isaiah says, no man is an island. And what you do has an effect on other people. And what you don't do has an effect on other people. Well, look at verse 10 and 11. Because one of the responsibilities we have is to do what Hezekiah did. We ought to invite people, Brother John, people who are missing, people who are not connected, people who may have got their feelings hurt, people who may just feel like they weren't important in a way. We need to let them know that there's a place in God's economy for them. And there's a place in God's house for them. And we need to invite them. But listen, there'll be two responses that you're going to get. In verse 10, it says, so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Some people are going to laugh in your face. Some people are going to tell you there's nothing to this Christianity. Some folks, I had people tell me, I tried this Christian thing and it didn't work for me. They'll make you, listen, if you're not full of the faith and full of what you know is true, I'm telling you, they'll make you question yourself. And they laughed at them. And they mocked them. But then look at verse 11. Nevertheless, many of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Not everybody's going to respond to the invitation. As we launch Operation Recovery, there's going to be some people that tell you, don't call me no more. Don't send me no more letters. That there are going to be some folks that will make all kinds of excuses and tell you, I ain't got time for that. That there are going to be some people that's going to try to make you feel like that you're wrong for inviting them. But you can't sweat them. You can't get tripped up over them. Because I promise you that there will be a few that will humble themselves. And they will come to Jerusalem. And they'll worship the Lord. Show you two more things. We'll go home. Two more things. I want you to see the results of it. I want you to see the blessing that flows to them who will come and obey the invitation that needs to come out of the mouth of the church, but has come from headquarters. Go back with me to verse 20. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed them. Verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Underline that. Number one, God healed them. Number two, it was great gladness. Look at verse 22. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. Listen, there was great healing, there was great gladness, there was great teaching and great preaching. It's because the anointing is there. Listen. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offering and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. In verse 23, And the whole assembly got together and they took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept another 7 days with gladness. Listen, they were having such a ball, Brother Mark, and God was moving in such a way, and they were so glad to be with one another, and the Spirit was moving, and things were just happening. Listen, they said, I tell you what we're going to do. Let's stay here 7 more days. Let me tell you something. For those who have a hard time coming to church, church is a burden rather than a blessing. Let me tell you, if we will repent before the Lord and get right and make things right with us, we'll be, listen, it'll break our hearts when somebody says it's time to go home. Boy, they were having such a good time and God was moving in such a way. And boy, they said, listen, you ready to go? I got 7 days of vacation I can take. I brought enough money to buy a room for seven. Let's just stay here 7 more days and see what God's going to do in the next 7 days. Oh, God, when we get our hearts right, when we will sanctify ourselves and when we will reach out to others around us. But then y'all, look at verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. They went away saying, man, we ain't did it like that since Solomon was here. That's why I like Christmas, because I'm telling you, mamas do Christmas meal like no time up.
That's right.
I mean, they do. And every now and then, Matt will break off and cook a good meal in May. I mean, we'll have ham and dressing, and you'll say, well, we ain't had nothing like this since Christmas Day. They said, we ain't did this like this since Solomon was here. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. And I'm closing. I promise you. I'm just enjoying.
Amen.
Preaching Sunday morning is tense. Boy, the devil put out his biggest sword on Sunday morning. So I had to have fun on Sunday night. I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of us who sit here who've been around the church for a long time. And we look back on the good old days when revival time would come or when Sunday morning showed up. Man, God just moved in a mighty way. And we long for those days, don't we? We long for those days. We long for those days when the anointing was thick as peanut butter in the church. I hear God saying something to us this morning. Or tonight, he said, if you'll set your heart right, and if you'll follow the instructions of my word, I will do for you what I did for them that hadn't been done since Solomon's day.
Amen.
Here's the last thing. This one really blessed me. Look at verse 27. Then the priests and the Levites arose and they blessed the people. And their voice was heard. And watch this. And their prayer came up to the holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Even unto heaven. How many of y'all know that a prayer ain't worth praying that don't make it to heaven? But when they set this up right, Crystal. And when they got the focus off themselves and their agendas and what they wanted and how they wanted things to run, and they made it all about Jesus and they sanctified themselves and they reached out to their brethren, they began to pray. And when they prayed, God said, I hear you.
Amen.
You stand with me tonight.